The text will be Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. So please take your New Testaments out, and just a moment, we'll be looking at that passage. There's a story of an agnostic, atheist, didn't really know what he was, but he knew that he didn't believe in the Bible and in the church. He lived in this small town, and every time that the local church there would hire a preacher, he would make it his point to search that preacher out and criticize him face to face. One day, there was this preacher that was hired, a young man, and he was walking down the street, and this atheist saw him, ran across to him and confronted him and said, "You know that that Bible that you believe in is a bunch of phooey, don't you? You know that the God that you believe in doesn't really exist, don't you? You know that only dumb people believe in God, don't you? And by the way, the judgment, no such thing. What do you got to say about that, young fella?" The preacher just says, "It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment." The guy says, "You know I don't believe the Bible, so don't use the Bible. Don't worry about the Bible. I am confronting you. You confront me with some arguments. I want to talk to you about this." Young fellow says, "It is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment." The atheist was steaming. He said, "Won't you talk to me? It's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment." He said, "Is that all you can say? It's appointed unto me once to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment." The fellow was so irritated, he turned and he stomped away. But several years later, this man wrote, after he had come to believe in God, he said, on his journey home that afternoon, as he was walking across the bridge, even the frogs were saying, "Judgment, judgment, judgment." He could not get the Scripture out of his head. And you know, friends, we need to keep that Scripture in our head. Judgment is coming. There's no question about that. It is on its way. I don't know when it will be. You don't know when it will be. It may be today. But it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. It is coming. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11, John sees a picture of the judgment. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Terrible scene. It is a terrible thought. At least it is to me, and I hope it is to you. It is a terrible thought to stand before God on the day of judgment unprepared. The day is coming. And I want us to look at some things in this passage that we just read. I want to first point out to you the setting that John sees. The setting that "I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for it." The one who sat on the throne, that's Jesus Christ. The white throne stands for purity and holiness. And He who sat on the throne, that's authority. And this is the judgment throne. The time has come for judgment to be rendered. The throne, and He who sits on it. In John 5, in verse 27, Jesus says that all judgment has been delegated to the Son. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, we see there as all nations are gathered together, they come before Jesus as He is sitting on His throne of glory. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. And all nations will be gathered before Him. The throne. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 42. Acts 10 and verse 42. And He commanded us to preach the gospel and to testify that it is He who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. Jesus Christ, the one who came to this earth, who lived and who died for us, will judge us. In Acts the 17th chapter, in verse 30, Acts 17, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but has now commanded all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. So just as certainly as Jesus has been raised from the dead, Jesus will come in His glory and He will sit upon the throne of His glory. We will all be gathered to Him. Now this is taking place in the spiritual realm. And we'll all be gathered to Him. He will judge us. All of us. The earth and the heavens will be destroyed. Found the earth, the heavens and the sea found no place before Him. The heaven and the earth found no place before Him and fled away. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 25, Jesus' words will not pass away, but this world, the heavens and the earth, will pass away. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 through 12, verse 7 says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." The day is coming when this earth will be destroyed. And as it goes on in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come." That's the judgment day. "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" This world is coming to an end. All that is material is going to be consumed. The elements. When you destroy the elements of something, that thing is gone. The earth and the heavens will be destroyed. Now here's the setting. Everything that you've got in this world, all of your possessions, all of your money, all your stocks and your bonds, whatever it is you may have, your business, your house, your cars, your television sets, everything is going to be gone. All that will be left is you. Everything gone. And it's you before Jesus Christ. You before the judge of heaven and earth. You and Him. That's all that there will be. Judgment. Then we see the summons. John says, I saw the dead small and great standing before God. And then verse 13 says, the sea gave up the dead who were in it to death, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. Now, John says, I saw the dead. Those who had passed from this life, he saw the dead, small and great, great and small, men of might and power and authority, men of wealth and prestige and honor, and those who were unfortunate in life, those who didn't have much materially, the great and the small. Every person. In John 5 and verse 28, when the Lord comes again, He will shout, and all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. There will be a general resurrection of all the dead. Whether you are righteous or you are wicked, when the Lord returns, all in the graves will come forth. All will be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. As in all and in Adam all die, in Christ all will be made alive. That's talking about the resurrection. Every person will be raised from the dead that has died. Every person. Hitler. Napoleon. Reagan. John Smith. John Doe and Jane Doe. All will be raised to stand before the Lord. All made alive. All nations, Matthew 25, 32 and 33. America. Saudi Arabia. Russia, Great Britain, and the nations of the past, Egypt, Babylon, Assyria, the Medes and the Persians, all will appear before the Lord. The world. Acts 17 and verse 31, Jesus will judge the world. And He's not talking about, this is metonymy here, He's not talking about the material world, He's talking about the people, all the people of the world. Same sense as John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The world is going to be there. That is each of us. Turn in your New Testaments to the book of Romans, chapter 14, verses 10 to 12. Paul writes, verse 10 beginning, but why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. No exemptions, no exceptions. We're all going to be there. And by the way, it is mandatory that you arrive. As 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things we've done in our bodies, whether it be good or bad. We will all be there. We must be there. The summons has been issued. The day of judgment is coming, and I guarantee that you'll be there. Because God said you would. We must all appear. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Today is the day of salvation. But what if we neglect this salvation? The Hebrew writer says there is no escape. The summons is coming. We're all going to be there. And I'll say this, there are two classes that'll be there that day. Two classes. Just like in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31, verse 32, what does Jesus do? He separates the sheep from the goats. There'll be two classes and only two. There'll be no middle ground. You're going to be in one of these two classes. The atheists and the agnostics in one class, the confident believers in the other. Atheists are people who say there is no such thing as God, and that's what we know. We know there's no such thing as God. They deny Him, and they fight against Him. Agnostics are people who just don't know. I don't know if there is, and I don't know if there ain't. I don't know. That's an agnostic. Either way, they're in the same class. But confident believers in the other class. And by the way, the class that you see over here in this box, it's not just if you're one of these, it's all of these. This is the kind of person, these are the characteristics of the person that will be in that class. Now, on this side of the ledger, you don't have to be an atheist to be in this class. You don't have to be one of these I don't know people to be in this class. We'll see that in a moment. But immoral and wicked people will be over here on this side, and moral and righteous will be on the other. The person who stands on the right side of God, in the sheep category, they are moral and righteous people, everyone. No exceptions to that. On the other side, you'll have the selfish and the proud. You have some people over there, they're selfish. They want what they want, they're going to do what they want, whether God exists or not. And they're proud. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. But on the sheep side, you're going to have humble servants. People who say, not my will, but thy will be done. On the other side, you're going to have people who are unloving and unforgiving. But those on the sheep side, the confident believers and moral, righteous, humble servants, they're also loving and forgiving. And you have ignorant believers with the goats. They never took the time to learn about Jesus Christ. Maybe they live in a faraway country somewhere. Maybe they never heard the name of Jesus proclaimed. What about those folks? Acts 4 and verse 12 says, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And how can a person be saved if he has not heard? And how shall he hear without a preacher? Go to Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. How shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not called? And how shall they believe without a preacher, or hear without a preacher? And then Paul commends those blessed feet that are sent. The gospel must go forth. Over here we have a group, or we have this group, and those people in this group, they know and they believe the truth. But what about people who know and believe the truth who do not tell the people who are ignorant, who have not heard the truth? What about us if we refuse to share the gospel? There are two classes of people. What about those who are religious but deceived? They may attend every service. They may attend every service of a right church. But they are not faithful in their service. And maybe they are deceived in doctrine, in understanding of truth. They are deceived. What about them? Religious but deceived. May I suggest to you, friend, that the devil had just as soon send you to hell off a pew as he had off the gutter? If he can have you attend a service somewhere and have you sitting in a pew knowing that He's got you anyway, He's just as happy with that. Religiously right. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Two classes. Apostates and procrastinators. Those who say, "I'm not going to do what the Lord says anymore." And then you have those people who say, "One day I will. But not today." Do you think there will be people on the day of judgment who believe that one day they would, but they didn't? But with the sheep, you'll have the loyal and the obedient. You'll have the indifferent and the lazy over there with the goats, like those of Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. They were indifferent, they were lazy. And the Lord said that He was going to spew them out of His mouth. And then on the side with the sheep, you have the diligent, you have the zealous. People who are zealous for good works. They're diligent in their service to the Lord. You know, the summons is coming. And there will be people there, as Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, the cowardly, the unbelieving. Cowardly. People who are unwilling to stand up, as we just sang about. Stand up for Jesus. There are people who are afraid to stand up for Jesus. They're more concerned about what men say about them or what men may think about them. They're more concerned about what their co-workers will think or their friends will think or their family will think. Or godly and bold. Those who are along with the ones in the sheep classification, they are godly and they're bold in their faith. And then you have the hypocrites and the self-righteous, the people who put on a show. And then you have the people who think they're all that. Contrasted with those who are sincere and faithful to the Lord. The summons is coming. There'll be two classes. Everybody will be gathered from all time. They'll be there before the Lord. And you'll be stuck in one of these two classes. Now, which class? Right now, today. Right now. Not tomorrow. Don't be a procrastinator here. You think about it. Right now, today. Which class are you in? Where are you? If the Lord came today, which class would you be in? In Revelation 20 and verse 12, John says, "And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." Verse 13 says, "And they were judged each one according to his work." So the books are opened. Secrets manifested, revealed, made known. Everything that you have ever done that is not covered, that is not washed away in the blood of Christ will be made known. Every sin that you ever committed or will commit that is not washed and covered with the blood of Christ. Now, let me emphasize this. Every sin washed away by the blood is gone, removed, won't be mentioned on that day. Forever forgotten. But friend, if you have not obeyed the gospel, or if you have once obeyed the gospel and you're living in sin today, there are things in your life that you need to repent of, that you need to confess of, then listen, you need to do that. And 1 John 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins." When He forgives us of our sins, those sins are gone. They won't be brought up again. But friend, If you're not submitting to the Lord, repenting of your sins, confessing your sins before the Lord, if you've never even obeyed the gospel, then your sins, all of them, are still there. And everything will be made known. Everything is recorded. Every secret, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Yes, the conclusion of the whole matter is this: fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Friend, you can't hide. You can't hide from God. You may be able to hide your sin from your children or from your parents. That doesn't work most of the time. But you can try. You can try to hide it from your spouse. You can try to hide your sins from others. But I'm telling you right now, friend, you cannot hide your sin from God. God knows. Every secret thing. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16 again. The secrets of men will be judged by Jesus. Matthew 12 and verse 36. Every idle word. Every idle word. Curse words. Words of gossip and slander and tale-bearing and lying. Every idle word. Nothing covered that will not be revealed. Luke 12 and verses 1 and 2. Everything that is not covered or washed away with the blood of the Lamb will be made known on that day. In fact, not just your deeds and not just your words, but even your thoughts. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5 reveals the secrets of the heart. The heart. God knows what you think. John 5 verses 30 and 31, Jesus said, if you look upon a woman to lust after her in your heart, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Now, no, you cannot get a divorce for that reason, for that cause. But I will tell you this, God knows your thoughts, God knows your lust, and He has attributed that sin to your account. You're a sinner. Even if you never acted on it in the flesh. God knows your thoughts. And those will even be revealed on that day. Secrets will be made known. Hebrews 4 and verse 13, there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and opened to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. We will be judged according to our works. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Those that are in prison, those who are sick, those who are in need, and we saw that, we had opportunity to do something about that, and we didn't do that. We're going to be judged for those things. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, whether good or bad, we're going to be judged. Our works are going to be brought forward. Each one will be given according to his work. Revelation 2, verse 23. We'll be rewarded, each one according to his works. And I was listening to a fellow the other day, and he was talking about this idea of works. He said, we won't be judged according to our works if we are Christians. You can't be saved by your works, but you can be condemned by your works. But that's not what this passage says. Each one will be rewarded according to his works, good or bad. Okay? We that if you do good or if you do evil. Okay? You're going to be judged. And the works that you do, good or bad, will have a part in that. He says He will render to each one according to his deeds. That's good or bad. In fact, you turn over to Romans chapter 2. Let's do that real quick. Romans chapter 2. The Apostle Paul deals with the judgment here. And he's talking to the impenitent Jews, those who are hard-hearted against the gospel. And he says there in verse 6, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. Oh, it's going to be fair. It's going to be right. There is no partiality with God. He's not going to take your money on the day of judgment. He's going to judge you based upon your works, or He's going to judge you according to your works. And you will receive things done in the body, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things we've done in our body, whether it be good or bad. So the secrets are made known. And the sentence then will be revealed. In Revelation 20 and verse 14, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And everyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The end of death and Hades. Death and Hades will give up all the dead that are in them. Now, Hades, and the King James says hell, but the word there means Hades, the Hadean realm, the realm of the dead, the place of departed spirits. On the judgment day, the place of departed spirits will be emptied out. The general resurrection will occur. Those spirits and their bodies that are here on the earth will be reconciled, given a body. Yes, even the wicked will be given a body. They'll be raised, they'll come forth, and they will be cast into the lake of fire. But death and Hades, death will come to an end. There'll be no more death. That's the last enemy that the Lord will conquer. When will He conquer that? At the last trumpet. That's when He comes again. That's the resurrection day. And Hades, there'll be no more need for the place of departed spirits, that secondary realm, if you will, after the judgment, there will only be two realms. There will be hell, and there will be heaven. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. There in Revelation 21 and verse 8, John refers to this as being the second death. That is eternal separation from God. Eternal separation from God. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Eternal separation from God. Now, those who are not written, those whose names are not written in the book of life. Philippians 4 and verse 3, Paul mentions this book of life. Revelation 3 and verse 5, Revelation 20 and verse 12, and Revelation 21 and verse 27, and Revelation 22 and verse 19. This is found several times in our New Testament. Friend, the Lord knows those who are His. The Lord knows who are faithful. And if you are not faithful to the Lord, then you will be cast into the lake of fire, the book of life. And this lake of fire is a real place. Hell is real, despite what some folks say about that. In fact, there are a few preachers, Homer Haley and some others, who have taught that hell is not a place of eternal condemnation, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, in fact, teaches emphatically that hell is a real place and it is a place of eternal torment. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew chapter 25, once again, as Jesus there is speaking of the judgment, and He has described those two classes of individuals. And then He gets down to verse 41. Then He will also say to those on the left hand, depart from Me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, this place is prepared for Satan and for his ministering spirits. If you go on down then to verse 45, then He will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Everlasting what? Punishment. How long will the punishment last? Now, I want you to think about that. If I believe this annihilation theory that some have, friend, that wouldn't be punishment. I might be punished for a few minutes, but when I become unconscious, there's no more punishment. How was things with you before you were born? Do you remember? Of course not. You were unconscious. Didn't exist. If punishment, if all it is you cease to exist, then what's the big deal about it? You may suffer for a little while, but then you'll cease to exist. By the way, that's not what this passage says. How long will the punishment be? Everlasting. And by the way, it is set in contrast with eternal life. I'm going to tell you right now that the punishment is just as long as the enjoyment on the other side. Heaven is eternal. Our joy is eternal. On the other ledge, on the other side, hell is eternal. The punishment is eternal. The lake of fire. And those not found written in the book of life will be cast there for all eternity. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Two classes of people. Those who believe the testimony. And thus, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, we will be glorified in Him. He will be glorified. And then it will be brought to fruition, our hope. When we, for Thy faith, submitted ourselves, our lives to Him, and we hope for that day, it is finally consummated. And we will hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. But those in the other class, punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Which class will you be in? You know, the day of judgment will come. It's coming, friend. It will be inescapable. You will be there. You can't run and you cannot hide. And all things are going to be made known. Everything not washed away in the blood of Christ will come forward on that day. Everything will be revealed before you. And you're going to stand there and hear Him say to you whatever it is that He's going to say, depending upon which class you're in. Are you lost or are you saved? Are you wicked or are you righteous? Do you believe or are you an unbeliever? Are you obedient or are you disobedient? It will be according to truth. You can't fool God. And also there is an objective standard by which you will be judged. Jesus says in John 12 and verse 48, "The words that I speak will judge you in the last day." Friend, I'm not going to be judged by the creed manuals of men. I'm not going to be judged by the Pope. I'm not going to be judged by any human being. I'm going to be judged by a fair and righteous judge. And He's going to do what's right by me, and He's going to do what's right by you. And if you stand before Him guilty of sin, He has but one choice. Because He has to be true to Himself. It will be final. No parole. No purgatory. It'll be final. Forever settled. Friend, it really depends on today. See, there's not going to be a trial. There's not going to be a hearing. You're not going to present your case. All the evidence is right there. And you know, all the excuses you may want to make. I just was so confused and I didn't know which church. I didn't know which doctrine and I didn't know what to believe. Friend, there'll be no excuses on that day. Someone says, "Well, I just didn't have time." There'll be no excuses on that day. I'll say to you that God's going to do what's right. Jesus will do what's fair. But there'll be no excuses. If you were called to meet the Lord today, if He were to come right now, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment." What if it were today? Where would you be for all eternity? Where would you be? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you have not, today is the day of salvation. You can have all of your sins washed away in the blood of Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you once obeyed the gospel and you strayed, you've wandered away, you're not living like you should, repent and confess and have your sins washed away. Today is the day of salvation. What if the judgment day were today? Are you ready? Right now, are you ready? Put yourself there. Hear the words of the Lord. What would He say to you as you are right now? Think about that, and if we can help you prepare for the judgment day, won't you come with your stance?